Hey, everybody, welcome. Great to be with you guys. We're going to get started here in just a minute, getting some things set up. Let's see who we have so far. We got a good group here. Christian, Jeff, Kathy, Lawrence, Marta, Theo. Great to have you guys here. Let's see, what part of the country or the world is everyone dialing in from? We got a little chat area there that you could, in fact, we use the chat area quite a bit in these calls. Let me know where you're dialing in from. South Carolina, Kathy, you're practically neighbors there. I'm in outside of Atlanta. Marta is in Chicago. Theo is in San Diego. Jeff in Washington. Christian in Maine. Wow, we're really spread out in here. I love it. Lawrence in New York City. All right. Ruth. Hey, Ruth. I was wondering who that was. I knew that wasn't anyone in the program. Ruth is dialing in from Israel. Welcome. I think, what time is it in Israel right now, Ruth? I think we're like 7 or 8 hours, if I remember correctly.
It's 8 o'clock in the evening.
Ah, okay. 7 hours.
Hi there, everybody. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome. So it's later, but not terribly late. I've had people call in from the Far East and Southeast Asia, and it's exact opposite time is here. So it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll be 1, 2 o'clock in the morning there. I love the commitment. That's gotta be, it's gotta be exhausting. All right. I'm looking where is Susan? Missing Susan. Let me check on Susan. Oh, there she is. Okay, cool. We got Susan here. I didn't want to start without her. Hey guys, well, welcome. It's great to have everybody here. You know, many of you guys are joining us for our last group of B2B Launcher. This has been a program I'm really, really proud of. We've had some amazing successes here over the past 8 years or so. And, you know, as many of you know, from the information we sent you, I'm looking to move on. I got other things in the works and I got too much going on. And, so I wanted to put out one last invitation, and I'm glad that many of you, heeded the call. It's great to have you. We're going to be working here for the next 10 weeks or so on getting your business off the ground the right way in landing your first paying client. You know, I talk about this in the welcome and the introduction of the program. Landing that first client, paying client, is so important because that's what's going to give you the momentum, the confidence to continue going. And even if you've had a client in the past, I know some of you have had maybe a client in the past or two, but you know that you just didn't lay the right foundation for success. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We want to make sure that we build a really strong foundation for your business so that you can start off the right way and then continue building on that solid foundation. We're going to give you systems. We're going to give you step-by-step information, and we have a roadmap that we're going to be following. The biggest thing you could do, the most important, is to commit time every week to not only study the material, but as you'll quickly see, implement as you go. This is not the kind of program where you can kind of kick back and take notes and go to the next lesson, take notes, go to the next session, take notes. you really want to implement as you go. If you haven't implemented session one, you just can't move to session two. You have to wait until you are done with session one, acting on that material. Okay. It's there for your own good. There's a method of the madness. We've been doing this for a long time. And the people who succeed are those who work on this step by step. Now, every week is not going to be perfect. I get it. Life happens. You know, maybe you committed to spending 5 hours a week on this stuff. And then, you know, next week, all kinds of stuff happen and you couldn't dedicate more than 30, 45 minutes. That's fine. Okay. Two things is catch up as quickly as possible. Don't fall behind or try not to fall too far behind. And then just, you know, mark where you left off and just pick back up where you had left off. It's okay. Susan and I are here to support you every step of the way, but we can't do the work for you. Okay. So this is very important. This is not a done for you program. You have to do the work. It's very collaborative. We're here for you and we're going to help you every step of the way, but it's, you know, incumbent upon you to stay on top of things and just do the very best you can with it. Things are going to happen and we understand that. But ultimately you're the one who's responsible for picking up where you left off and then continuing to work. Not everything. Don't wait for perfection. Not everything's going to be perfect. In fact, we're not even shooting for anything close to perfection. We want to adopt the ready, fire, aim philosophy here. Just, you know, get something out there that's good enough, put it out, and then just start knocking on doors and start moving in the right direction, and then just trust that you will learn as you go, okay? So with that, I want to bring Susan Baracco on, and so she could introduce herself. Susan, hey, there you are. Hello, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Great to have you here. Guys, I want to introduce you to Susan. So Susan is my associate coach. I'll let her tell you a little bit about her background and, you know, what she's been doing with me over the past 3 years or so. But Susan has been a coaching client of mine and has been working through this program for, again, 3 years. She knows this material inside out, and she's worked with hundreds of my coaching clients through this. So Susan, take it away.
Thank you. So, hey everybody, welcome. I'm so excited that we have this great group. We have a bunch of new folks that have come on in the last week or so. So welcome, I'm glad you're here. My background, just to let you know, as Ed was saying, he and I met, I actually took one of these courses, probably 7 years ago now. And so that's how we met. And I had started my own copywriting business. I was working full time and I was a road warrior salesperson back in the days when you were allowed to drive around and meet with people. And so I was doing that full time. And then I was coming back and working on my writing business at night and on the weekends. And I was working 7 days a week and it was no fun. So it was a must do at the time, but it was challenging. So I'm right there with you as far as some of the things I've been through. Since that time, my business has morphed and changed, and I don't do copywriting per se anymore. I've actually changed, and I'm a ghostwriter and editor, and I help women write books. Their lifetime goal of writing a book, I help women finally achieve that goal. So really a lot of fun. It's been an interesting transition. And 3 years ago now, I think, right, Ed, that I came on board and started helping you with this. I also spent, before I got into writing, I had actually done business coaching for, I want to say, 10-ish years thereabouts. I actually owned a franchise and did business coaching and executive coaching for several years and really enjoyed that. So this was a great opportunity, a very exciting opportunity for me to come in and work with writers and aspiring writers like yourselves, freelancers who want to either do this as a side gig or transition into it full time. So that's just a little bit about me. I actually live in the northern part of the United States. I'm in Maine, and I am actually quite chilly here today. I think we're finally getting some winter, but so I'm on the East Coast and love it, and love to be a part of. I've seen some amazing, amazing transitions through this program. And I echo what Ed said is that, you know, following the program, sometimes you read this stuff, and I know we all have these things like, oh, you know, I don't really need to do that part because, you know, I would strongly recommend that you're in it, you've invested in it, you've invested your money, now invest your time. You know, that would be my recommendation for anybody, you know, joining this program, is just immerse yourself, open your mind, and try the things that Ed recommends. I certainly, my business is where it is today because of a lot of things that Ed has recommended to me personally, and a lot of the philosophies. And he and I have the same, we think alike in a lot of ways in terms of how to run and grow our businesses. So I would definitely strongly encourage you to just dive in, try it, try everything that he recommends and see how it goes. And then start, you know, use it as a starting point to kind of literally launch your freelance business. And I think you'll make out really well. I've seen some amazing transitions in this program over the years. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you, Susan. Hey, I wanted to let you know, so your audio, it sounds like it's coming through your built-in mic. Because I know your audio is usually better than that, but it's very echoey, and so it's...
Is that a little better?
Oh, man, yeah.
Sorry, I thought I said it right. My mistake. Technical issue.
There you go. I figured something was up. All right, guys, so here's what we typically do in these calls. And by the way, I strongly recommend that you go ahead and put this in your schedule with alerts. We meet twice a month, usually every other week. Some months, excuse me, the way it works out is we may skip, you know, one of those. It just depends, but there will always be two calls per month. The schedule is published ahead of time. It's in the program on the dashboard page, and go ahead and schedule those and set up reminders so that you don't miss the calls. Try to make as many as possible. Here's what we have noticed. Try to come in with a question if you really have a question. But if you don't, I still want you to come in because it's amazing what you learn from listening to others' questions and the way we respond to them. Okay. In fact, I've had many people who have said, I get more out of that than out of my own questions. Okay. So come in, commit to them. We usually go 60 to 90 minutes. We go up to 90 minutes if we need to. We're here. Susan is going to be leading most of the calls. And then in between calls, you have access to the private Facebook group, which we encourage you to use. Every week, we have a Q&A thread. And what we invite you to do is find that thread. It's usually the one at the very top. And if you have a question or need feedback on anything, post it there as a reply to that thread, and one of us will get back to you. We're there pretty much every business day, okay? So it's another tool for you to use, and, you know, use it. It's a great benefit, and we're here. We're committed to your success. The way these calls usually run is we'll start with a, we always want to start on a positive note. We're going to skip this today. But in the next call, we're going to start with this, and come prepared, come into the call to share one quick little win that you've had over the past couple of weeks since our last call. A win doesn't mean I landed a client, okay? A win could be anything. Hey, I'm making progress. I made some decisions on my positioning. My website is live, or I'm getting close to it. Anything like that is a win. And we're not going to ask you to speak. Just put it in the chat area with a W in front of it so we know it's a win. We want to celebrate you. So we always want to start on a positive note. And then we're going to ask you throughout the call, hey, what material are you implementing? Okay, so where are you now? This serves two purposes. One is for you to be clear about, okay, where am I right now? You know, am I really caught up, or wait a minute, do I need to kind of get back to it? And also it can help us as well when we're answering questions, we understand where you are right now. And then at the end of each call, we're going to ask for takeaways. What's been your best takeaway or key takeaway from the conversation today? And then what's your next action item? You may have a page full of notes, but we want to make sure that you highlight one thing that you're going to commit to acting on over the next week or two. Okay. And that's really cool, because it will do is it'll force you to look at your notes and pick something. Honestly, it doesn't matter as much what it is, even though I'm sure you're going to pick the right thing, as much as the fact that you've committed to one thing. Because once you commit to one thing, it's got a much higher probability that you will do it. And then that will give you the momentum to then take the next action and the next action after that. So that's how the calls usually go. We spend most of the time asking you guys, hey, who's got a question? If you have a question, the way to ask is, and let me put that here. Just type in a capital Q and just give us an idea of what you've got. Hey, put Q, I need some feedback with my positioning decision, or I need some feedback on this, or I have a question about that. I'm confused about you don't have to give us all the detail, just give us an idea. And then we'll unmute you and bring you in and we'll have a conversation. Okay. We've found that that's really the best way to do it, is to have a live conversation rather than try to communicate over the chat. Okay. So the chat is really just to let us know that you have a question and an idea of what it is. And then we'll have some dialogue with you, and we'll make sure to help you through that, give you the feedback you need. So with that, we are actually ready to go ahead and get started. We're going to skip to the questions. The rules, as you see here, are pretty straightforward. Keep your question focused and specific. So don't, you know, ask a really broad question like, well, how do I get clients? First of all, we're going to get to that. But that's still too broad a question. Something about the way we're teaching you to get clients, you know, what is it about it? Where are you confused? Let's drill in on that. One question per person. So if you got a couple of questions, fine. Hold on to the second one, and we'll come back to you. We want to make sure that we get to everybody as quickly as possible. And then we do round two. Many times we do round three. So there'll be plenty of time to ask questions. Don't worry. And if it's the kind of question where you're trying to decide between one thing or the other, let us know that that's what it is. Let us know that, look, I'm torn between A and B. That way we don't go down a rabbit hole. So anyway, those are really the ground rules. They're pretty straightforward. So we're going to open it up for questions. If you have anything, just type in a capital Q. One last thing while we're waiting, Susan, I wanted to let them know and remind everybody about pre-submitted questions.
Yes. Right?
Because that's another option. Now, let me be clear. Pre-submitted questions are for those who know, if you know you can't be on the call, but you want us to address something. I know a couple of you have a day job, for instance, so it's going to be hard for you to come in live. You can always pre-submit a question. We'll answer it live. In fact, we always start with those. Or if you're not really sure if you're going to be able to make it, or if you know you're going to be dialing in late and you want to make sure your question gets in. So if you know you're going to be here, we ask that you do not pre-submit it, because we'd rather you ask it live. And that way we can have that conversation. So that's really the only reason for the pre-submission, is if you know you're not going to be here or you're not really sure.
And the only All other right. thing I'd love to add, and if I could, in regards to questions, and I usually remind people of this every time we get together for these live coaching calls, is don't feel that your question is silly. You know, there is no such thing as a stupid question in this program, simply because A, you're brand new. You may have never run a freelance operation before. This might be the first time you've ever done anything like this. And so you're going to have a lot of questions, and they might seem simple and small to you. But I can also guarantee you that the other 10 people on this call have the exact same question and maybe just hadn't thought of it yet, or weren't sure how to phrase it, or maybe they were intimidated about, geez, do I put a question like this out? I try to remind people, you know what, ask away. That's what we're here for. You know, we schedule this time, it's in my calendar, and I'm here and I'm all ears and ready to hear what you're struggling with or what you're not sure about, or sometimes I always joke around too. I tell stories just because that's, you know, oftentimes what you're experiencing, I've probably been through at some point in my journey. And so I love to tell stories about some of the things that you're going through that I went through too, and how things turned out for me. And I'd love to hear your stories too. So, you know, don't be shy. This is an opportunity for you to take advantage of what you've invested in and pick our brains and get the help you need so that you can move to the next step.
Absolutely. And anything's fair game too. So, you know, once you land a client, for instance, there are going to be questions that are going to come up that maybe we're not covering, because this is not meant to be like, hey, this has got everything you'll need forever. If that happens, you know, ask us, hey, how do I price this? Or, you know, I priced it and then the client came back to me and now they're looking to negotiate. How do I handle this? We're prepared to handle any of those questions. Okay. There is a question that was pre-submitted from AJ, and he asked, so we'll start with that. Just wondering what systems, apps, or programs you recommend for keeping yourself organized in terms of clients, projects, et cetera. I'd like to set those up before starting to ensure efficiency in time management. It's a great question. My answer is going to sound really odd, okay, which is pretty much nothing. you don't really need anything right now. And let me explain why, the reasoning behind that. I find that when you need to understand that Susan and I have been where you are, and it seems like only yesterday. So it's very fresh in our minds. We've been there. I know the question. I was asking myself the same thing. Looking back, a subconscious reason for asking, and I'm not saying that this would be the case with you, AJ, it was a delay tactic. It was like, all right, where should I go get business cards? I remember agonizing over the design of my business cards, and I need a logo, and I need this, and I need that. Looking back, none of those things mattered. Okay. Those are things that you worry about down the road once you have better clarity as to what your business is feeling like and where you're slipping, where you need better tracking, et cetera. Would it hurt to do some things now? Yes and no. More often than not, it will hurt you. And let me explain why. And again, we've been doing this for a long time and we've seen this happen over and over again. I could give you a couple of suggestions. What will happen is you will tell yourself, all right, great. I'm going to go look into them. I'm going to research them. I'm going to go ahead and sign up. And I'm going to go ahead and set up this app or this tool. And then I'm going to go through the tutorials. And then I need to set it up better now that I've learned. 4 weeks have gone by and you haven't really applied the material we're teaching you or gone through it. Or maybe you have, but you're not applying it. And because all your focus has been on setting up this, you know, this contact management system or setting up FreshBooks for invoicing. Those things are not going to move the needle. So some of the things that we're going to be stressing here is like, let's focus on the moves that are going to actually move the needle and keep moving you forward. There are certainly things you can deploy and we will talk through them, you know, as you have questions, but those are better suited for once you start landing work. Okay. So hope that makes sense. And, you know, not putting AJ on the spot because we've been there, we get it. And many of you have the same question. In a way, you should be relieved that there, you know, you don't have to now search all these systems and research them all, implement them, learn them and all that. Marta has a question. All right, let's bring you in, Marta. Hey.
Hi. Sorry. Let me start my video here. So I guess I can get a visual.
Hey, there you go. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
So I'll admit I just signed up this week. I'm still going through the introductory session. So maybe my question is a little premature. I'm actually at work now.
It's okay.
On my lunch break. And I work for a nonprofit organization, which brings me to my question about positioning. That's been my career working for nonprofits, and I would like to obviously switch to full-time freelancing, hopefully one day, but I do not want to work for nonprofit. I do not want to work for profit organization for a nonprofit organization. Sorry.
Okay.
So I know in your, emails, you said that you'll help us kind of discover our uniqueness because everyone brings something unique to the table. So I guess my question, it is kind of general, but it's about that positioning, how exactly will that happen, kind of help us uncover the uniqueness that we can bring to the table and play on our strengths.
Got it. And, no, it's a very valid question.
And maybe that's in one of the sessions that I'm sorry I didn't get to yet.
That's oh, yeah, no, it is. So the short answer, it is. In fact, that's where we're going to start. So you're going through the introductory session. Session one is all about that.
About positioning. Okay.
Now, but let me give you a quick preview because this is important. And it's important for everybody to know who hasn't gone there yet. Unfortunately, sessions one and two are the hardest of all nine. Okay. We're going to get started. It's like you're going to a boot camp and we're not going to ease you in. We're going to get started with the hard stuff.
That's all right.
And it's just the way it is. Unfortunately, we call it positioning. Positioning is the perception you create in the marketplace. And it's really about being clear internally first. It's really more of an internal thing about what it is you do. So what kind of work, what kind of writing, whom you serve. So what market you're going after. It does not need to be an industry. So, you know, in Susan's case is actually a very good example of that. She works with women leaders. Okay. That's not an industry. That's a category, right? That's a certain set of attributes. So what you do, whom you serve, what makes you different from many others? Okay. So what are your differentiators? In your case, you could say, hey, I've worked with nonprofits, you know, for X number of years. I know, you know, this market very well. And then why those differences matter. Okay. Well, I've worked with nonprofits, which to you would mean, or this is the benefit. Now, let me then address it. And you're going to go through a whole exercise. That's the difficult part because it's like a self inventory. And then you got to make decisions. And that can be tough because you're too close to your own stuff. And that's why we're here, to give you feedback. And you have blind spots.
Oh, yeah.
Let me explain one of many ways you could leverage your experience with nonprofits would be, okay, you don't want to work for nonprofits. I want you to look up and look sideways. Look up. All right. Up meaning the supply chain. Who sells into nonprofits?
Yep. You
know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, why would that be a good way to go? Well, if you understand the world of nonprofits, you would be marketing to companies who target people like you. Hey, I've been your customer. That's a really powerful angle, you know? So that's one of many different ways you could leverage that. The other way is asking yourself, all right, I know nonprofits. What else could that give me? You know, based on that experience, where else can I add value? And I think you'll find several different ways, but I'll let Susan chime in because Susan, I know this question comes up quite a bit.
Sure does. Okay, thank you.
Sure does. Yeah. Well, the other thing I'm thinking is, you know, looking back. And so again, as Ed said, you're going to go through this exercise in session one, and it's going to be looking at, so let's take the nonprofit piece out of it. What are my skills? What have I done for the nonprofit? What value have I brought to the organizations that I've worked with in my career? And it might be you're a wizard at writing emails. Maybe you just have developed this incredible knowledge of marketing and know how to write to people, you know, from a marketing perspective. There's other, you know, so there's several layers of things that you're going to look at as, first of all, like Ed was saying, looking around to see what other companies might be related to nonprofits, what other kinds of organizations, and I'll be targeting them. But then what do I bring to the table? What kind of experience? And I try to bring it up a level, not so much, hey, I write great emails, because maybe that's not what you want to do long-term, but really more the writing I've had to do has allowed me to understand X, Y, and Z about writing. So maybe make it a little more broad so that you're not saying, well, I can only write emails. Well, that's we don't want to pigeonhole you, right? We don't want to, you know, box yourself in that quickly if it's not really what you want to do, but just say, this is what my experience has informed my writing ability this way. And this is how it will benefit you. So my experience benefits you in this way. And so keep it a little more broad if there's something, because a lot of people come through this program, honestly, Marta, looking to change careers. This is, geez, I've been at this forever, but I'm burned out. I do not want to see another nonprofit for the rest of my life. Whatever. So that's they come in. They're
Marta's talking, looking right? around.
Yeah, I don't want to. I know. Shh, careful, she's on lunch. But you don't want to. You're ready for a change. A lot of people are doing that. So then, how do you translate? Well, for me, it's not the very specific of what you've learned, but a step up and saying all this experience gives me this ability, which is going to benefit you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah. You'll enjoy the exercise. It's hard, but it's, yes. it will give you some answers. All right. So we got, and by the way, one quick example of that, this may not even apply to Marta, but just as an illustration, hey, because I've worked with a lot of appeal campaigns, high degree of empathy, you know, and storytelling ability, right? And this is right. Oh my God. Well, you could leverage that in so many different ways, but all right. So Ruth has got a question. Let me bring her in. Oh, I think I muted you by accident. Can you unmute yourself, Ruth? There you go. I think you're. Yeah, hello.
Okay, so I'll show myself as well. Hi there, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Actually, yeah, that was like the question kind of continues that what Martha just said, and you partly already got me thinking, got me some ideas. The positioning, I went through the first session and it's focused a lot on previous experience and on previous jobs and stuff like that. Now, where I come from, I've worked in so many industries and so many different jobs and so many different, have done so many different things that I'm not specialized in anything. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there. I've been writing for a while. I've been writing for high tech companies and for health tech companies, which is cool. But in terms of positioning, I would like to bring that together and focus, you know, like you said, to get something that makes sense and not spread myself out and try to hit wherever I can, but I'm not really sure where can I go because I don't have one specific area or a specific industry or something that I have experience to show.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. And a lot of people will be in that category, which is a good problem to have. You have different options. Here's the way I would look at it. I would take, you want to start with your inventory and then narrow it down. So let's say you've narrowed it down to five different possibilities in terms of industries or markets or types of clients, right? What you do for each one is you rate them based on the following three criteria, okay? The quality of your network in that market, personal and professional network. And these are all very gut feel, subjective scores that you're going to give it. I like doing the check minus and check plus system. Check minus meaning I don't know a soul. Check being a check mark being, yeah, I know some people, and check plus means I'm very well connected in that market or in that industry or in that area. Okay. So you just give yourself a simple score. The next criteria would be to the best of my knowledge, what is the demand for content marketing and copy in that industry or market? I'll give you two extreme examples. High tech. Very high demand. Why? Because anything that's technology related, and this is not the only one, there's many industries like this, need a constant stream of marketing materials because it's changing all the time, right? And it doesn't sell itself. So somebody's got to write this stuff. On the other end of the spectrum could be a commodity like crops. You know, we sell a corn byproduct, you know, that's used by industry in many different ways, but it's a raw material. Nobody needs to write about that. It's a commodity, right? So what is the demand? Your best guess, okay? This is not scientific. And then the final criteria is how do I feel about the people and the topics that I would be writing about? the reason I ask that is if you know the business and you know what the people are like, I'll give you an example where this has come up. We've had attorneys, for instance, who have gone through this program and said, Ed, everything checked out until that last criteria. I don't ever want to work with another attorney again. And I definitely do not want to write about the law, you know? So that's a check minus. So what you do is you take your five finalists and then you rate them according to those three variables. Your best guess is to the quality of your personal and professional network in that area. The demand, as best as you can tell, for what I do. And then the people and the topics. And then you make a decision. Now, here's the thing, and this is for, I'm glad you asked, because for everybody needs to understand, this is not a permanent decision. This is not something that, you know, I better really spend a lot of time on this, because once I make this decision, there's no going back. Now, you'll be able to course correct and iterate and refine over time. And in fact, that's expected, but you need to start somewhere and it needs to be a good enough. So it's like, well, I'm not entirely 100% comfortable with this market, but I think it's good enough to get started with. So let's give it a try. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much. You said something about empathy before, high level of empathy. Is that something that you could somehow like that you would put, let's say, in the web copy or in the value statement?
Yeah. You could. I you know, it just depends on the context. To use it as a filler, you know, is to give me more points on its own may not really mean that much. But if you're going after, like in Marta's example, right, I'm going after companies that meet this criteria, and in the context of her background, that actually could make sense.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So
thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. Theo has a question.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, Theo?
Good. Yourself?
Doing well.
So my question was on positioning too.
Okay.
I went through the exercise and put together a value statement, and I was thinking about, so right now I'm an HOA manager. I manage homeowner associations, and I have a lot of contact with different types of vendors, from people who do like reserve studies, like property studies, and asphalt companies, everything in between. And so I was thinking about positioning towards that just to start out with. And as I was going through that, and I did the web copy as well, I went online. I couldn't find anyone else doing copywriting in this industry. So I'm not sure if I'm ahead of the curve or if it's just not viable, like I'm missing something. So I want to see what your thoughts were on that.
So how would you describe the market right now that you are thinking about going after?
A lot, there's a lot of opportunity, I think. So a lot of it is companies that put together materials to pitch to either boards of directors who work on these properties or commercial properties, or there's another side of it where you have software companies and other services that pitch to management companies for like managing back-end stuff like property inspections or financials or just like a CRM for property addresses. So there's a lot of different companies and industries that are involved in this market. And I do see the occasional white paper floating around. There's lots of brochures, lots of email marketing that goes out, but I'm just not sure if there's a market for a full-time copywriter. Cause I would think if there was, I would find someone who was doing this. If I did a simple Google search for either HOA copywriter, property management copywriter, community association copywriter, something. So I'm not sure what to take from that. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah, it's a good question. So listen, on just on the surface, this sounds really good. Here's the way I like to think of it. You don't want to be too broad with your initial positioning in terms of your target market. And you also don't want to be too narrow. You know, so companies that refinish tennis court surfaces for HOAs, right? That's mm-hmm. and that may be a bad example, but I wanted to give you an extreme example to show you the difference. That's too narrow. You kind of, for most people, you want to be somewhere in the middle. That's a sweet spot to start. So like property management companies and companies that market to or sell to HOAs. And you know, whatever your descriptor is, but you know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of a general,
right, it's a catch-all. Safer, yeah.
It's a catch-all and it's a safer zone. That's why it's a sweet spot. Now you can go narrower from day one. If you meet the following criteria, you know the market well enough and you have enough connections there that you understand the dynamics and you know it's safe for you to go narrower. You know what I'm saying? Like you're already talking to some prospects and you just know, and you're willing to go even deeper, even narrower. So that would be the exception. From what I hear though, you know, you're still kind of like, well, I don't have any specific subsector yet. It's like a big area. So you tell me, am I hearing you right? Where it's kind of, you'd like to stay in that safe zone for now?
Well, mainly I just want to make sure it's a viable positioning before I put too much energy into it. Cause I haven't been able to find anyone else copywriting in this industry. So I'm not sure if they even need copywriters right now. And I'm just wasting my time putting together all the web copy and everything.
So I think they probably do, but here's the way to find out. I would spend a couple of hours looking around and just going down rabbit holes in terms of companies in this that fit the criteria. And you could tell a lot by their websites. And I would just look at their website for now and just, okay, is the copy good? Do they have content? Do they seem to get content marketing? You know, do they have some brochures? They have a white paper, maybe a couple of case studies. Generally speaking, you know, that's why I say spend a couple hours, because you're going to find a lot of them don't. So you want to go deep and go after, you know, anything from materials to services to technology, like cover all the bases and then decide. Here's what you want. You're doing the right thing. And I'm actually impressed that you're doing that, is you want to go where there's already, where they already get it, where they're already doing it. Right. A lot of people say, oh man, so much opportunity. Nobody's got their act together. No, you don't want to go there.
Yeah. If they really,
that's not the model that you want to adopt. There are industries or markets where that's absolutely what you want. You want to be market leader, but not here. So one step was, hey, are there any other copywriters? There probably aren't too many and they're harder to find. And frankly, copywriters and content marketing writers are really bad about getting specific with their target market. I would say 80-90% of them don't do a good job of that. So there might be some out there that are just not positioning themselves that way and they have these clients, but they're like a generalist, yes. You know? So I would spend a couple of hours at least covering all the sectors and just getting a feel for, you know,
what's going on.
What's going on, right? Are they already writing this stuff?
So just dig deep and see if they have content and then kind of take it from there.
Yeah. I gotta think they do, but I want you to do the homework and make sure, you know?
I mean, it's a big industry, so I'm finding it hard to believe there isn't someone, but I just thought it would be easier to find the competition, you know?
Well, I mean, that's one way, but if you're not finding another copywriter, I wouldn't make the decision based on not finding one or finding others, right? I would do it on what's really going to drive business, which is, am I finding a lot of people who get it? Because it's not just HOAs, it's properties, right? Property management that also gets into facilities management, which, you know, might be a little bit, but that's still an adjacent market. We talk about adjacent markets in here. So that's a massive industry.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Right. And your experience and your background positions you very well to be able to go even into the facilities management space.
Okay. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. And again, for Theo and for everybody else, just remind yourself as you're doing all this that we're shooting for good enough. So you want to, I like to think of it as a number, 85, 90% good enough, meaning like you still, 100% is like, oh my gosh, I nailed it. You know, this is it. But you're not there. That's going to be rare. I've seen that, right, Susan? I mean, how often do we see? It's not
very rare.
Very rare. So just know if it's nagging at you and you're probably close. Yeah. 80, and that's a sweet spot right there. 80, 90% confident about your target market. Let's see, Jeff had a question here. He says, I started the program this week, working on my positioning. How should I shift my LinkedIn platform to reflect my writing services at any profile following certain groups or companies? Yeah, so let's talk about this. Jeff. Here you go, Jeff. I just need you to unmute.
Okay, there we go.
Hey, hi, folks. There you are. How are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Yeah, doing well. So tell me a little bit more about shifting your LinkedIn profile. What your
okay? Question. So I've got a long work history. Right now I have, I'm currently unemployed. So I just have a, sort of a descriptor of what my main skills are, in a couple of sentences, in my about section, and then a list of, my employers and my job, functions, for the past 30 years. So yeah, I understand it's best not to have more than one LinkedIn profile. So I just want to know how to rebrand myself, basically, or how do I make that shift into, my new services? Do I just like take my value statement and use that as, my about, and then just, so I'm just trying to come up with, just the main concept of how to put myself out there, because I don't have, any, portfolio or, experience.
Hardly anybody does. So don't worry about that. So Jeff, where are you right now in the program? Are you in session one?
Yes, I'm in session one. Okay. I just got done going through the brainstorming the first part of it. I'm getting ready to consolidate my target market.
Okay. Perfect. So just know that in session two, we get into how to turn. Session two is going to be, so session one is positioning, and that's more of an internal decision. Session two is about turning that decision into copy. And there's going to be two parts. There's going to be copy for your website, and there's going to be copy for your LinkedIn profile. And we're going to show you how to do that.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to get to that. But here, I'll give you a kind of a preview. Once you write the copy for your website again, and there we're going to be shooting for good enough, it's almost a copy and paste job into your LinkedIn profile. So you have it right. Your about section will be very similar to your homepage copy. And then with a headline, you got to be a little bit more careful because the headline is extremely important for search purposes. So you're going to want to have very specific keywords there. But, you do not want to have a second LinkedIn profile. Just use the one you've got. But we'll get to that. You got Susan here. Susan's a LinkedIn beast. So she'll she'll also help you with that.
For sure. Yeah. And there's a lot of little tips, Jeff, that, the most important piece for me, and it's funny because Ed and I've been working together now for a while. And that was the first thing I asked was, where are you in the program? Because I think your positioning is so important. You need to know what you're going to say before you know how to say it. So that's exactly where you're in the right place. You're thinking a couple of steps ahead, which is really wonderful. But make sure that you're comfortable. You're 80 to 90% comfortable with your positioning. Then you want to start. Then you'll know. You'll almost answer your own question here in terms of, what do I want to say on my LinkedIn profile? I like to tell people to think of your LinkedIn profile as a mini website. So you've got your website, which is where people go to learn all about you. But LinkedIn just kind of scales that way down. And now LinkedIn becomes your mini website. It's just a secondary. And they should have the same message, the same branding. You should be talking the same thing, saying the same story in both places. And that's why it's a good, just good practice and efficient to work on getting your web copy down first and then just literally copy and pasting the basics of that into your LinkedIn. And there's a lot more details in there too, in terms of like, if you have a really long, one other thing I'll just add to keep in mind when you get to this point is if you have a lot of experiences listed on your LinkedIn, what I recommend is that you choose the ones that give you the most credibility for the audience that you're going to be talking to. So if for me, a perfect example, I mean, it would be frightening for you to hear all of the different things I've done in my career. I mean, I've done a lot of different things in terms of my work. So what I did was instead of having, because no one's going to scroll through all of that. I mean, if you've got 15 or more, you've been at it a while, like I have, no one's going to scroll through all of that, first of all. So get rid of the ones that are, you know, if you start with, oh, I was a paper boy when I was 12, get rid of that because no one cares at this point, right? So you're going to look at the different ones and just get rid of the ones that no longer do anything for you in terms of credibility to your audience. And then not to worry that they're not contiguous. In other words, oh, well, you know, it doesn't read like a resume. Again, it's a mini website. It doesn't need to read like a resume anymore unless you're looking for a job. If you're not looking for work anymore that way, then you want it to be, it build the strongest case for you as the right writer to hire for your audience.
So my target, okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, thanks, cool. Guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, Lawrence had a related LinkedIn question. He said, if people view your LinkedIn profile but haven't contacted you, should you contact them? Ah, good question. Susan, I'm going to give this one to you.
Sure.
Lawrence, here we go. Hey, Lawrence.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Do you want me to repeat the question?
No.
We're good.
Well, actually, one point of clarification. Are you referring to, hey, I saw that they viewed my profile, but they haven't connected with me or accepted my connection request? Is that part of the question as well?
No.
Connecting with you?
Repeat the question.
Yeah, so you said, but they haven't contacted. So they viewed my profile, but they haven't contacted me yet. Because there's contacting. There's also something else they could do is send you a connection request. So I didn't know the question is really more about, hey, I sent them a connection request and they didn't accept, but they viewed my profile, or they viewed my profile but didn't send a connection request.
No, a LinkedIn. I guess I'm paying LinkedIn, and they tell you this many people have viewed your profile this week, and they give you a chart and they tell you, you know, the difference from last week. So I made a couple of tweaks to the LinkedIn profile, and I got about three times as many people looking at it as I had the previous week.
Good.
Congratulations.
but nobody wrote to me. So how is that good for me?
Yeah.
It's interesting. LinkedIn is an interesting thing. You know, there's a couple different ways that you can handle that. When I am actively prospecting on LinkedIn, I absolutely use those as an opportunity. What I will do is there's a couple different things. I look to see who it was and if they're a viable target. So in other words, is that someone that I think, you know, would be a good client for me? And if it's yes, then I might do one of a couple of different things. I might go view their profile so that they can see that I look back, right? Because they're going to see me show up in there if they look at those kinds of things. But also, I want to see what they have going on. What kinds of things are they liking on LinkedIn? What kinds of are they making any posts? I might want to go and make a comment. Maybe they shared an article. I read it and I say, hey, you know, loved that article. I really agreed with this particular point. Thanks for sharing, something like that, just so that they see your name and face again, so that you're going to start to get in front of them. And The other thing could be if you really think that they're, you know, that you could also reach out and send them an invite to connect and a customized invite to connect. So, hey, just wanted to reach out. I see that you're in the X industry and thought we would benefit from being connected, something like that. So non-salesy, just, hey, I see that you're in this industry and would love to be connected with you. So, you know, a couple different ways that you can do that, but that's valuable information. You said something amazing is that, you know, you made a few changes and all of a sudden your views went up. You're heading in the right direction. That's terrific data and terrific feedback. Now take a look, dig a little deeper and see who were these people and what could they have possibly seen that in the change that I made that piqued their interest, that brought them to actually click on the link and look at my profile. So use that data to inform what to do. Now, what do I do with that person? You know, if I look at all these people and I think about the changes I made, now what do I do with that person that looked at my profile? You might not do anything. I mean, I have people that look at my profile, I can tell they're a competitor. Well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm like, whatever, fine. You can look at my profile all you want. That's fine. I'm obviously not going to do anything. But if it's someone that I look at and they fit the profile of my target market, then I'm going to do something with that person. I might follow them. Like on LinkedIn, you can follow without being connected. So that as they, again, post things and make comments, that'll come into your feed and you can start, again, interacting with them in a very non-salesy, kind of a non-aggressive way that just gets your name and face in front of them again. So those are the kinds of things that you can do with that. Just a couple of ideas. I mean, does that help? Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's sort of, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay. I want to encourage everybody to think about LinkedIn as a giant networking event. Back in the day when we used to go to networking events, we would go armed with, we'd have a handful of business cards maybe, and we'd walk around and we'd introduce ourselves to people. LinkedIn is just this giant virtual networking event. And so however you would behave at a networking event is how you can behave on LinkedIn with a few differences. So if someone's interested, you know what? It might not go anywhere, but to reach out, some people I know say, hey, I noticed that you were looking at my profile. You might send them an invite. Noticed you checked out my profile. Would love to connect with you and see how that goes. You know, that it's okay to say that too, because they know that they're showing up in your profile views. So most people do. Especially now, LinkedIn's been around long enough. Most people have been out there and they know. But LinkedIn is an enormously powerful tool for what we do as writers. So I want to encourage you to use it and use it properly so you can start making those connections and build your network. If they're a good target, even if they don't have a need right now, you want to be connected to them so that you're also connected to their network as well. That just gets you a little closer to the right people. And I could go on forever, but I'll stop.
Thank you very much. That's a good answer.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. And Lawrence, and for everybody else, I should mention this. We have some great LinkedIn training for you guys in session 5. So we're going to touch on it in session 2 when it comes to, hey, how to update your LinkedIn profile easily now that you have your website copy. But then in session 5, when we start getting into prospecting, we're going to get into how to use LinkedIn as a prospecting tool to help you and your prospecting efforts. And Susan, I should mention, Crystal is going to be adding to that session our training on LinkedIn 321. And the a quick little 20-minute interview I did with actually a previous coaching client, somebody who went through B2B Launcher just a few months ago, called the LinkedIn hashtag method. Something that she kind of discovered by accident. So we're adding that to session 5. You don't have to worry about that right now, but just know that session 5 is going to be jam packed with lots of great prospecting tools and strategies and ideas. And we're adding some new ones as well. So when you get there, it'll be ready for you to go or ready awesome. To go for you. All right. We got an open floor right now. So if anyone has a question, don't be shy. Or if you were holding on to question number 2, we're officially in round 2 of questions as well. And I know it's early. I know many of you guys are still going through, you know, introductory session, session one. And, you know, one thing I would say is give it time, especially with that exercise. I find that that stuff needs time to marinate a little bit. Don't marinate for too long. You know what they say, like marinate for 24 hours. If you go beyond that, like it could ruin the meat. So don't spend too much time on it, but certainly let it kind of sit there for a while, because some of the answers will come to you when you're walking the dog, doing the dishes, or taking a shower, you know? So known to happen for sure. All right. Theo has a question. How do you handle LinkedIn when you have a full-time job? Ah, yeah. Great question. Let's bring you in, Theo.
Hey. Yeah. So basically that, so I have a full-time job and I've been wondering, how do I leave LinkedIn alone until I go full-time? I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I mean, I wouldn't be competing with my current company, but at the same time, they might, you know, have a weird look when they see that.
Yeah. I'll share one quick generic thought, and Susan, you know, I'll let you chime in on that, 'cause I know, you know, you've had to deal with this before with others, but, the good news is if you're in the same industry and, you can change your profile, your description in a way that still kind of keeps you where you are. By the way, are you concerned about your employer finding out, that you're doing this on the side?
Yeah, that's my main concern.
Okay, got it. So my thought, and this is what I did, is I kept it generic so that it wouldn't create any weirdness with my employer if they were to see it for some weird, or if a coworker were to see it. But it's still phrased in a way that if a prospect were to see it, they didn't think, well, wait a minute, is this even the same person? Because the industry, the market, my experience doesn't even seem related to what I'm doing as a writer, right? So in your case, that won't be as hard as someone who, for instance, is in the, I don't know, in the furniture business, but they're looking to go into the high tech industry as a writer. Like that's really far apart. Gotcha. But Susan, what would you advise?
So there's a couple, again, there's always more than one way to do things. And it really depends on your specific situation and what you feel comfortable with. Most of the time you can add another job experience without really too many people taking notice. I mean, if you're in an industry and if the people in your company and your coworkers and such are on LinkedIn a lot, then they might see it. But if they're not, I think you could probably comfortably add a new job experience to your LinkedIn profile so that way, and if it's to current, so, you know, you're currently doing more than one job, which a lot of people will have, especially like if they're volunteering for a nonprofit and things like that, a lot of people have two or three current positions, if you will. So that's not uncommon on LinkedIn, but that's one way to do it. The other thing to do is to use LinkedIn as a research tool and start reaching out to people, because your personal LinkedIn profile is yours alone. So in other words, they're not going to see if you get if you start interacting with a potential prospect, no one in your company is going to see that. No one on LinkedIn can see that. So it's, you know, even if you're interacting through LinkedIn. So that's the other thing is I would, if I were you, I would just start looking for prospects and expanding my network and connecting with people as you get to that. And I would ask you to wait until you get to the point in this program where you start to have a process for that. And that's part of what Ed's program will do, is teach you a process for reaching out. But start building your network, because that no one's going to notice. And so you can still start making connections, doing research. Who do I want to be? Maybe I'm targeting ABC company, but I need to know the marketing director. I'm looking for the marketing director at this particular organization. Use LinkedIn to find that person so that you're reaching out to the right person. And you can always go direct with a warm email, which you'll learn all about very soon, or you can go through LinkedIn. So you can kind of prospect in the background, so to speak, without it really being obvious. And I agree with Ed, is to put you know, to be able to change the copy a little bit so that it's, it really depends on what you have there now, but you could change the copy to say, you know, professional in this industry with, mm-hmm. and then add a couple of things of what you're doing now, but then maybe sneak in a thing or two about, you know, writing somewhere in there, you know, marketing or writing or something like that, so that you're broadening that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people say, you know, enterprise software professional, for instance, you know, so it's, you've kind of genericized it enough that it's still within the market that fits both your employer and where you're going after, but it's safe.
Okay, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, let's see. We have a question from Julie. She says, hey, I just started this week. As I get going, what is your advice for journalists about positioning in order to separate B2B work with journalism to manage potential conflicts of interest? Great question. So I think there are a couple of you here. Let me bring you in, Julie.
Hello.
Hey, Julie. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on board. So here's what I've seen and what I've advised other coaching clients to do is, is to basically have a divide. Okay. And there's a few ways you could do it. One easy way is your website. Cause I think it's really the biggest concern, right? You want to kind of make sure that people know, hey, you know, I there's a division of church and state, separation of church and state. On your website, you have kind of a brief headline, and then you have two buttons. Hey, learn more about my, you know, my work here, and learn more about the work that I do with business clients. I can even show you a quick example because there's somebody who just came to mind. She's a coaching client of mine in a different program. Let me bring this up and hold on. And that's a nice, clean, easy way to do it.
Just to be super clear about the different areas that you write about for which field.
Yes, absolutely. all right, Emily Wolf. I'm a writer. Can you see this, by the way?
Yeah.
I'm a writer exploring the relationship between people and nature. Okay, as a journalist, I've covered outdoor adventure, conservation, and economic development. Collaborate with me on a story. Very clear. All right. This is my journalism side. As a marketing consultant, I lead brand strategy, write copy, and manage projects for private Montana clients. Partner with me on marketing strategy or work with me, you know, on some your content marketing.
Awesome.
Right. And when you click on each, like you'll go straight. I'm going to click on the journalism side. I'm an independent journalist. So she has language here as well. It just makes it very clear. So that's one part of it is how you message it. The second part is a little bit more, not difficult, but this is where you just have to be clear about how you're going to respond to different requests. So if you're working on a story and you're interviewing several people for that story, several sources, and they start asking you about your content marketing work, that's when you're going to have to kind of, you know, keep those boundaries.
Yeah.
Maintain and honor those boundaries and, you know, however you want to do that. But, you know, it could be, listen, I appreciate that. Yes, I do that. But, you know, I am very, I keep these things separate and, you know, I don't want any conflict of interest. I'm going to, you know, this is something maybe we could talk separately once a story is done. You know, however you want to do that, everyone feels a little differently about it, but not getting into that conversation at that point.
Yeah. I think the challenge for me has kind of been, I've tried to delineate that line, but then, you know, different stories come up and sometimes it's just hard to, like, especially because all my experience is in journalism. So a lot of my knowledge of fields for businesses is from like previous fields that I've written about as a journalist. And it's just kind of hard. It's been hard for me to really like totally compartmentalize one area separately from my journalism area.
It is challenging.
That's what I'm going to work on.
Yeah. Compartmentalizing. I mean, obviously it's critical, but you know, the question becomes, you know, can you truly become a purist here? You mm-hmm. know, and I think that's the answer is no, because you never quite meet the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Especially today, I think the challenging part today is that journalism is kind of has morphed and moved in a different direction. You can't, most journalists can't afford to just be a journalist anymore.
Yep. You know?
So it's totally. More accepted now, but I think you still have to have, you know, that code of ethics. You need to decide, here's what I would do. And Susan, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You need to decide, maybe come up with a list of standards, internal standards.
Yeah.
That get very specific as to situations and things you will do and not do, and then how you'll handle them. I think if you get clear on kind of an internal manifesto, that can help. And then it can always be your constitution. You come back to it and then decide.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think, and I agree with that. I think that the thing that will help you most is to have your own rules. I know, and this is for everyone on the call as you move forward, and you're all very new in this process. So nothing to worry about today, but just kind of file this away, is that as you move forward in this, it's okay. And I know I learned it the hard way, right? I was working with clients that, you know, that took advantage of my background in this or that, even though it wasn't part of what we agreed on or this or that, you know. So creating a list of that constitution, as Ed called it, or that list of rules for yourself that you don't have to share with anyone, but it's just so that you internalize them and say, you know what, here's how I work in this category, here's how I work in this category. And blending, you know, may or may not be okay. You know, and so this is just something that you will, I think it's really something, Julie, that you'll experience as you start getting into freelance writing for B2B clients, this will develop. So again, don't let it hold you back. I think, you know, move forward and get moving with the program and with your freelance business. But let it develop, be patient enough to say, I don't know if it's going to be a problem. It might be, it might not be, depends on what B2B industry you're targeting. You know, who your target audience is going to be, that may or may not be an issue. So
yeah. Okay. I love that idea to have like a set of internal rules that just makes it super clear.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because that way you just know how you can answer that question right off the top of your head. You know, no, I don't work that way. This is how I work. This is how I handle my clients. My projects.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You bet. All right. And I think again, the one thing I wanted to emphasize is it's going to be a thing, you know, most journalists can't make it work just on the journalism work. Okay. We got a question here from Ruth. How helpful are LinkedIn groups and can you recommend any? Yeah, they used to be a lot better than they are now. Susan, what have you been seeing?
It's exactly what I was going to tell you. Back a few years back, I was actually traveling the country training professionals on LinkedIn for a client of mine, believe it or not. Very interesting project. It was great fun. And at the time, there were over 2 million groups on LinkedIn. And I can't even imagine what they are now. But back then, back even just a handful of years ago, they were a powerful tool. Again, I could find a LinkedIn group for the Association of General Contractors or maybe some other professional organization. Sweet, that's right in my target audience. I want to be in that group. Now I'm in this group with all of these people who are potential clients for me. They're in, or they may be connected to potential clients for me. So great networking, great way to expand your network on LinkedIn really quickly and effectively by finding groups that you don't want to look necessarily for. You can look for groups of writers that may or may not be helpful to you, but, you know, focusing on groups that, okay, I know my target audience now. I know who I think I'm going to be going after. See what groups, just go into LinkedIn and search and see, you know, if it's accountants or lawyers or healthcare or whatever it is, go and see what kind of groups come up. I can tell you that groups have really lost their shine on LinkedIn over the last handful of years. They aren't promoted. LinkedIn actually, once was it Microsoft bought them, and once they took over, that's when the shift happened. And they just kind of let groups kind of drop off almost. So they're still there. And I still recommend that you go and look and see what you find. Spend, like, you know, it's research time, right? Go spend a half an hour, an hour doing some research on LinkedIn to see what you find in terms of groups. Look to see how active they are. So when you find a group, and I haven't done this in a while, so I the platform changes so often that I'm not even sure how they would come up for you. But if you can click on a group and see maybe the first couple of people that are in it, maybe see the most recent, look for the date and see, well, when was the last time somebody posted? Is there anything even going on in this group? That's really important information, you know, data to look at to decide, do I bother? Depending on the industry, you might be better off, believe it or not, looking on Facebook for groups. Facebook groups are a whole different ballgame. Facebook has done an amazing job with groups, and there are professional groups on Facebook. So that might be a maybe better, I don't know. But LinkedIn is definitely, again, it depends on the audience you're focusing on. If they're more along the professional lines, they're gonna be on LinkedIn. Groups just, you know, it's gonna be hit or miss based on the industry you're focused on and your target market.
Okay, yeah, that kind of confirms what my impression of LinkedIn groups, and that's a good idea to start looking on Facebook. They seem to be getting stronger. Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
definitely. You'll find that professionals are on LinkedIn for the most part, and that's why it's a great place to go for prospecting. But Facebook is changing, you know, and I think that there's always. Always take a look. You just never know what you're going to find on Facebook. And in terms of professionals, I think, you know, they've shifted a lot. So it's worth taking a look in both places.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Makes sense.
All right. All right. We got an open floor right now, so we got time for another question or two. Anyone still has something? And again, I just wanted to remind, I know I said it at the beginning of the call, I want to remind everyone that between calls, hey, make sure to go to the Facebook group and go straight to the Q&A thread. That's really the place to post a question or a request for feedback. Don't start a new post because the way Facebook does groups, it's messy and we may not see it. But we're always monitoring that Q&A thread. So if something pops up there, Susan and I are ready to respond. Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, Susan, that Facebook just, I want to say what, like 3 years ago, right around the time when LinkedIn was really kind of phasing out their interest in investment in groups, that's when Facebook decided to pump so much into groups. You know, they've really done an amazing job. I think they realized that that's where people were spending time.
Yeah.
You know,
I think so too. Yeah. And they're far more active on Facebook. Groups are like crazy active on Facebook in comparison. The way that in fairness, LinkedIn, the groups used to be great.
They used to be
great sources of information and connection. And I don't know why LinkedIn let them go. I'm not really sure, but whatever. And it's harder to manage them. It's harder to get in. It's, you know, it's just, they made it just more convoluted.
They have been.
And needlessly.
All right. Marta has a question. Let me bring you in, Marta.
Okay. Actually, I have a question about copywriting skills. So for example, in my job, I write things that I write mostly new e-newsletters, annual campaigns and fundraising campaign letters. But I know that I would be interested in, for example, writing case studies and possibly white papers, but I did a few case studies, and I really enjoyed the whole process, really, not just the writing, but the whole process, because I have journalism background, so the interviewing process was also great. And so I wrote a couple, but I've never written a white paper. So how would you go about offering those services? Although I haven't written any of those, would you recommend taking a copywriting skill course parallel maybe to taking this course, or at some point? I just feel like I would like to offer more than I know, I guess, but sure. Because I'm interested in writing different kind of pieces or doing different type of copywriting that that I maybe don't have as much experience in.
Got it. So here's something that Bob Bly taught me years ago indirectly. He wrote an article about this, and it just resonated with me when I was starting out. He said, on your services page, your mm-hmm. website, list the things that you want to write and you know you have the capability to write, not the things that you have written necessarily. So don't go by track record, go by desire and relative confidence, okay? Meaning like, yeah, I mean, I haven't done it, but I'm very interested in it and I think I could do a good job. Mm-hmm. And then, now he didn't, this is the part that, these are the dots that I connected. He didn't say this, but I said, then get the resources needed to get a basic understanding of what this is and how to tackle it and how to do it well. Mm-hmm. And just get kind of the basic, the cliff notes or the crash course. Mm-hmm. And then have it in your reference library, ready to go for when you get the opportunity. And here's why I say that. We have been brought up in this society to believe that the way you get there is you take this course, right? So we sign up for this like evening college course and we go, and after 16 weeks, we got our certificate and now we are qualified. Okay. But in this world, like that, it just doesn't work that way. You know, mm-hmm. like you may have the certificate and that gives you a little bit more confidence, but like, oh my God, but I've never done one, you know? I need everyone here to get a little bit more comfortable feeling uncomfortable. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that's a skill you develop.
Hard. Yes.
That is hard. It takes time. It takes mm-hmm. time. But I think if you put that on your wall, you know, I need to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable. That's the key to success in this business. You'll mm-hmm. always, if you're feeling too comfortable, like you're not growing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. Let's go back to your question. What I would do is I would case studies and white papers. I would get some resources on that and I would read through them, take notes, and just really get a good understanding of what they are. That gets you to about 70 to 80% of what you need. The rest, the next 20 to 30%, you will learn when you land your first one. Gordon yep. Graham has got an amazing book on white papers called White Papers for Dummies.
Mm-hmm. I have okay. it.
Okay. Have you gone through it?
No, yeah. No, I've okay. been, no.
Go through it and treat it as a reference, meaning like don't try to retain all of it. Don't try to memorize it. Just go through it with the intention to get a lay of the land. If you do that, mm-hmm. again, you're going to get 60 to 70% of what you need. And guess what? Now you know, and now it's on your shelf. And when you land the project, then that's when you do it. That's how
and I open the book.
There you go. That's how I did it. Susan, I'm sure you did it, uh-huh. you know, to a great extent that way. So I know from experience that it works. The other one for case studies is Casey Hibbard. Mm-hmm. He's got
familiar with her.
So I think it's Selling with Stories or Stories That Sell. If you go to Amazon and look for her book, Casey Hibbard,
yeah.
and she's also got a great newsletter. She's got free resources on her site. Case studies is all she does. Okay.
Yes. Or the case study guy. There's a guy, I think he's called Case Study Guy. He has his own website. He's like took it a whole another level. He also includes design and has lots of packages, but he's got a whole team. So he's not one person.
Is this company. Case Study Buddy?
The Case Study Buddy, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Joel Kludke. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got good stuff. Casey's also got a great course. I don't know how often she offers it or if it's always available, on case studies. So, you know, if you wanted to take it up a notch, I'm trying not to give you the, hey, you got to spend all this money. You know, no, you can actually get so much with just a, you know, a couple of good books and free resources. Yes,
I agree. I have a whole stack of them.
Yeah.
So Bob Bly is my, you know, on my shelf. So
absolutely. And that's good. But you need, the distinction I wanted to make was, don't just buy it and put it on the shelf, buy it, read it with the intention to get the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. And then it's on the shelf. So now you know what's there. And then you can, that will give you enough to have a conversation with a prospect.
Correct.
True. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Theo says that, he's got Stories That Sell, that it's awesome. Yeah, it's great. Stories That Sell gets also into, because it's also written for marketers on how to use case studies and how to market them and all that. So it's not just the writing part. That's like a third of the book, the writing part. But it's still a great resource, because then you get to see on the other side all the things that need to happen from your client side to make them work and all that. So it's really good stuff. And Casey's she's awesome. She's so good at what she does. All right. So here's what I like to do, guys. I'd like to do a quick recap. Don't leave yet. And I'd love for everyone to be a good sport and participate. And just in the chat area, if you could type in a capital T and let me know what a valuable takeaway was today. Just give me one. You know, it doesn't have to be the top one. Something that was useful from our conversations today. And then type in a capital A and let me know what is one action item you're going to commit to taking between now and our next call. So T for takeaway, A for action item. So let us know in the chat area. And while we're waiting, just a reminder, again, schedule these calls in your calendar, set alerts so you don't miss them. We're going to send you reminders and schedule time also to do this work. I find that if it becomes a list on my an item on my to-do list. Oh, this week I'm going to go through session one or session. That's good, but even better is schedule the time. Okay, so next week, Monday from 10 to 12, and then Wednesday from 3 to 5, you know, and it's scheduled as if it were a doctor's appointment. That right there takes it up a few notches and increases the probability that you'll actually get it done. All right. So Jeff's takeaway, how to use books and resources at this point of launching the business. That was his takeaway. Yeah, good. Absolutely. You know, you can go scrappy that way. And
yeah.
And then you can invest more, you know, once you land one. That makes sense, you know, because now you're using the project to fund it too. Kathy said, take away, get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. I struggle with wanting to know everything before I do something. I really need to get comfortable with not knowing everything before I get started. Kathy, you should know that you are in the majority, okay? I would say that most of us, that's our natural state, okay? Yeah. So you're not alone. I know I've become much better about that. It's like the conditioning. I've reconditioned myself, but it's taken years. And there's still some, it's all relative, right? There's still some things that, wow, that's really uncomfortable. Okay. And I don't go there. I have to really push myself. Ruth says, action item, finished reworking my website. Okay, good. Keeping in mind, you know, don't jump ahead too much, Ruth. Make sure you've finalized your positioning again to the good enough level. And then once you have that, then get to the website, that's session two. And, you know, we have all the templates there for how to structure your messages and all that. So just make sure that, you know, you don't skip those steps. Marta says, action item, will finish the introductory session in session one. Okay, good. Theo's takeaway was how to handle LinkedIn and editing profiles to be generic. Jeff's action item was finish session one by Sunday. I like it. You can give yourself a deadline there. Christian says, action item, reach out to connect with people on LinkedIn and grow a network. Yeah, like Susan said, I mean, just growing that network, that expands your reach in a big way. So many benefits from that. Theo's action item is research vendors in my industry today. See who's using marketing materials I want to offer. Exactly. Make sure that there are enough vendors out there who get it and do a deep dive. Like, you know, look at all the different sectors. Because you know what, in that process, Theo, you might find your answer. You know, it may not be exactly what you were thinking, but now it's like, oh, wait a minute. There's this, it's, this is a different twist. And now I'm seeing that over here because I kind of came across it. Kathy's action item was complete session one by Monday. Start using LinkedIn every day. Good. Okay. And just make sure, you know, with session one, especially, it's not just complete it, but actually then do the exercise and do the homework. The, your deliverable for session one is really having a couple of very rough drafts of a value statement. That's the output from that session. So that's when you know you can check it off as complete, is if you have that. And don't be afraid if you, you know, want to run it by us, please post it in the Facebook group. Kathy says, yes, I'm going to do the homework too. Okay, good. Just clarifying. Cause session one is one that's got that homework and it can feel painful. Hopefully with what we shared with you today, that's going to take some of that pain away. All right. Let's see. We got Julie says, takeaway to rethink my approach to LinkedIn and connect with people and just to get started without overthinking. Yeah, there you go. Dive right in. Ready, fire, aim. That's what we're just working on good enough here. You get to 80, 85%. You get to 100% over the course of several months, sometimes even years.
Yeah.
In fact, I actually believe you never get to 100%, to be honest.
I agree.
Right? Rhonda says, action item, finish the positioning section by next Monday. Julie's action item is to finish session one. Ruth's takeaway is that it's clarified my positioning question. I got the answer I needed. Great. Great to hear. All right. Hey, guys, great session today. Susan, any parting thoughts? Anything on your end before we sign off?
Gosh. Yeah. I love the comment about overthinking. This is the time where we have a tendency to do that. You know, that all of this is so new that we get, analysis paralysis is what it's called. We're like, oh, I don't know enough. I can't move forward. Relax and definitely reach out to us on Facebook. I always remind people at the end of these calls, please, please, please use the Facebook group. Ed and I are there. I'm there every day. Ed's there pretty close to every day. We're looking to see if you need help. Don't hesitate to post your questions in the Q&A thread so we can support you and keep you moving forward. That's what this is all about.
There you go. Guys, you know what to do. Thanks for being here present today and for participating, asking great questions.
Keep that up.
It's easy to let go of that. It's easy to kind of start slacking a bit as you get going. Don't do that. Stay the course. Yeah. You guys have a great weekend and we'll see you on Facebook.
Yeah. Take care, everybody. Bye, Susan. Bye.